Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. And we're talking about the kingdom of God, and we were talking about the bankers owning the earth. But do they own you? You know, you're made of earth. You're made of dirt. You're walking, living, breathing dirt. Your families and your friends are to form altars of clay, altars of Adama. That means you're to come together. Why are you to come together? So you have fellowship? Well, in one sense of the word, yes. In another sense of the word, no. A lot of times what we call fellowship is actually a bunch of vampires getting together, feeding off of one another. That you get a charge out of being together. That, you know, it's the flock mentality. Birds of a feather flock together. You want to be of the feather of Christ. You want to be of the way of Christ. Christ doesn't come to get anything from anybody else. He doesn't come to get a sense of belonging. He already belongs to the Father. If you come together to get a sense of belonging, you missed it. You come together to serve. His holy church is His holy church, separate. It's different. It doesn't work like the churches of the world. You know, people make such a big thing about not being a 501c3 incorporation, and there's some truth to that. But the truth is, you want to be a part of the Spirit of God, manifesting the Spirit of God in everything that you do. Until John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven was established by force. But John the Baptist did not use force. He said, you need to use faith, hope, and charity. You need to do it by charity, by sharing, by free will offerings. Not by forcing. And, you know, the world, governments of the world force contributions, but the governments of the false church force contributions by guilt. And I do tell you that you need to give, the same as I tell you you need to forgive. But I'm not going to tell you who to give to. You have to choose that. But as to who to forgive, you forgive everybody, because your forgiveness is not absolution. What you're doing by forgiving is leaving judgment to God. God will take care of him. Peter did not judge Ananias. He left the judgment to God, and the Holy Spirit took him out. That's powerful. You need to understand how that works. But to understand how that works means to agree how that works. It's not to figure it out intellectually. And the way you agree on how that works is stop trying to force other people to conform to what you think they ought to do. They have a right to decide what they ought to do, and they often decide wrongly, but they have the right to decide that, and they will suffer the consequences of that. It doesn't mean that you don't rebuke as many as you love. You may say, you know, what you're doing is wrong. That's fine. But stop trying to force them with threats and coercion. You know, O'Keefe says that bankers are at the top of the pyramid. They are a plan and simple. They have this plan, and that they are plain and simple psychopaths, he calls them. They are drunk on their own power. They are used to getting everything they want. They can buy anything and anyone that can be bought. Well, Christ can't be bought. Christ was rich. He gave away his money. The bankers of the world don't even offer you real money. They offer you, fake money with real power. And people want that power. And they go after that. I saw Keith on a YouTube where it was a whistleblower YouTube video. The Great Israel Project. And it's very clear that O'Keefe is, has a Palestinian proclivity. He's not against necessarily Jews, at least it doesn't appear to be, but he is against the Zionists, which are not the same thing. I can find you all kinds of Jews that are against the Zionists. And the Zionists are these nation builders. And, of course, the Zionists don't do anything like Moses says. As a matter of fact, almost everything they do is the direct opposite of what Moses said. So it doesn't have anything to do with Jews. Or Jewish traditions, or what have you. But he talks about people awakening to this plan and exposing this plan and how, it's reaching out to Iraq and Iran and to keep all the Arab countries in a state of chaos. But, like Saudi Arabia, I mean, it's chaotic order now. I mean, it's that government is full of evil, just astoundingly amount of evil in that government and in that place. But then what government doesn't have evil? Governments are today, when we say government, we're talking about positions of power, and power draws evil, and people give power to government because they're lazy and slothful and are not tending to the weightier matters themselves. They want to elect some official who will straighten things out and make us great or give us stuff. As long as they want that, they're not going to have a political solution. Their politics will be the problem. O'Keefe talks about restoring the Constitution as if the Constitution is the answer. The Constitution was opposed by most Americans, and had it been put to a popular vote, it would have been voted down. It was not popular with the American people, who were the true fathers of the nation, because they were actual fathers of families, and that's what a nation is people. What we call the founding fathers are the founders of a political organization, but a nation is not a political organization. A nation is a people. Political organization is some sort of bureaucracy that you create. Well, Christ created a bureaucracy, and he called it the church. But their bureaucracy that Christ created could not exercise authority one over the other. It wasn't to be done by force, which we just talked about in the last show. You can't do it by force. You can't do it by guilt. You can't do it by mental manipulation or threats. You have to do it by faith, hope, and charity, love, and the perfect law of liberty, which is love. Restoring the Constitution is not your solution. The Constitution gives you the right to contract. You're in trouble not because they don't follow the Constitution. You're in trouble because you're not following Christ. You need to repent and start following Christ. And being mad at the world is not the solution. Yeah, the world is screwing up, doing bad things. But are you doing good things? Are you following the ways of righteousness? Are you seeking righteousness in all the things that you do? We were preparing for the education homeschooling symposium to put together some information for those people who want to homeschool, which should be everybody. And we came across a guy named Vargas who was on a board and suddenly quit and is basically telling everybody that you're going to have to get your kids out of school because they're suddenly teaching your children immorality, with all the gay agenda and transgender stuff and everything, that you have to get your kids out of school to keep them from this. But the reality is you've already taught your children how to covet your neighbor's goods through the men who exercise authority one over the other, because you sent your kids to public school. You've already abandoned the morality of Christ. You've already abandoned God because you have elected leaders who could exercise authority and force your neighbor to contribute so that you can have free education. The greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefit, and public education is a benefit. Having the government take care of your parents in their old age is abandoning the ways of God. It's abandoning the commandment that says, thou shalt honor thy father and the mother, not elect men who call themselves benefactors to force the contributions of the neighbor to take care of your elderly. The money you pay into Social Security is going to take care of the elderly now. There is no money on deposit for you. You paid in because you're taking care of the parents that other people did not take care of. And not just parents. You're taking care of drug addicts and all the guys on methadone that are on Social Security and just everybody. I know all kinds of people that are on Social Security that, you know, are under 35. And some that are under 20 on Social Security. Plenty of them. That's Corbin. That's your sacrifice. It's not on deposit for you. It's a sacrifice for those who need now, which is fine, except for the fact that it is done by force. You should have been doing that voluntarily. If you aren't, you have abandoned the ways of Christ, the ways of Moses, the ways of the early church. You are neither Jew nor Christian. You are anti-Christ. You are anti-Moses. And the Zionists, they've done this. You've done this. The people in Holland have done this. The people in Australia have done this. The people in China have done this. They look to the government to provide them with their benefaction. I remember we used to go to benediction in the Catholic Church. Benediction. Well said. But you have been telling your children it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods, to force them to pay for your education, for your health care, to take care of your parents. It's okay to force them to do that. And you're doing this by contract. How does restoring the Constitution get rid of that? You see, that's drawing you into the collective consciousness of the beast. You're a corpuscle of the beast. You're one of his cell groups. You're not an altar dedicated to God, either an altar of clay or an altar of stone. You're not taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity like John the Baptist said. You're taking care of one another, providing education, welfare, Social Security, by force. You have need of repentance. Keith talks about them being the government being a den of traitors. He points out that the Congress is a den of traitors, and everybody goes, yeah! 90% of all those people that are saying that are a den of traitors. They betrayed Christ already. They already forced their neighbor to contribute to their welfare one way or another. And he talks about, how Obama, and his drones can kill anyone, anywhere, anytime. Well, you can take away from your neighbor. Every time you take a drop of blood from your neighbor, take a bite out of your neighbor, you're killing them one bite at a time. Be careful you do not bite one another, lest ye be devoured. You are all biting one another by sending your kids to public education or health care or welfare or whatever. So you say, oh, well, I'm not doing that. I'm homeschooling my kids, so I'm not doing that. But are you the welfare of others? Are you a government that provides welfare through faith, hope, and charity? Now, it should be pretty easy because there's hardly anybody looking to do that. So the few of you should get together, hardworking people, and start giving on a regular basis to become the welfare. And people say, well, I want to give to the church you know, but I want to see the church saving up money so there'll be money there for me. You know, that like we're supposed to run some kind of Social Security program. No, we run it exactly like they do. The money that comes in, we spend today or tomorrow, soon. It flows through quickly. But your treasure is not in our treasury. Jesus said, don't put it all in a treasury. Your treasure is in the fact that you're a network of people who are learning to care about their neighbor, even those that are far away or nearby. They're casting their bread upon the waters daily in hope that it comes back to you. If I have it on deposit, then you hope that my bank isn't robbed. You see, it's a different way of thinking. I know not what who you shall serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord by what? By serving one another, by tending to the weightier matters on a daily, 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 daily basis in a daily ministration. Are you doing that? Then you're not, if you're seeking to do that, then you're seeking the kingdom of God, at least in that aspect. Are you forgiving daily? Are you giving daily? Or are you going around saying, look what the Illuminati is doing. Look what the bankers of the earth are doing. Look what the Pope is doing. Look what the Black Pope is doing. All these guys are doing these bad, bad things, but I don't have to do anything good. I don't have to create a daily ministration that takes care of the widows and orphans and needy of my society. I don't have to take care of the people that are retarded or, you know, born with defects in our group. I don't have to. I can just go get money from the government. I'll complain about the government, but I don't have to actually contribute on a regular basis to provide a daily ministration that operates by faith, hope, and charity. I don't even know those other people that are in the network. I don't want to know them. I don't want to know them unless they are willing to share with me in fellowship that makes me feel good. I don't know what they're doing, so I assume they're doing nothing. So they should be coming and gathering with me and making me feel good that they gather with me. Do you even know? We have a number of people in our local community that are dying. You know, we got news just the other day of more that are dying. They're old people. Some are in their 90s. Some are not so old. There's a doctor in our local community, when I say local, within 75 miles, and he's dying of liver cancer, and he's a young guy. He's the worst off of all of them. So what's the solution? Does O'Keefe have a solution? I mean, he says the bankers are controlling the world, and so, I mean, we hear and Phelps is, you know, the Black Pope is controlling the world. And now they're coming up with cryptocurrency. And just like these guys came up with a document that eventually, a church organizational document, where eventually they make the church the ruling judge of their life. They actually have a jurisdictional statement that says the church has that as that ruling judge. And somehow or other they think that expunges everything that has gone on before. You repent, turn around, start taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. Start sharing your extra coat, your extra money, your extra food. You know, do the same in meats, he says. That's what John the Baptist says. And then God will sort everything else out, because you will become, by that humble process, a part of the consciousness of Christ, the collective consciousness of Christ. And he will start revealing things to you, including miraculous healings. Cryptocurrency will disappear in a twinkling of an eye. It does nothing to cause you to repent, turn around, and go another way. Getting rid of the bankers is not the solution. Getting rid of the need for bankers is great, but cryptocurrency does not do that. Love does that. There's absolutely no reason to give you all the technicalities of a free government until you start repenting and turning around and going another way. And that's why Christ spoke to the people in parables, but clearly said they were to love one another as I am loving you. But he spoke to them in parables, but to the apostles he gave specific instruction. Yesterday, the minister who was out watching the sheep came to me when I was in the field and said, "You know, we have 99 sheep here," counting the ewes only, not the lambs. He says, "We have exactly 99 sheep here." Well, isn't there a parable about 99 sheep? Leave the 99 to go and find the one lost sheep. Unfortunately, there's a lot more than one lost sheep. There's all of you out there who are following the conspiracy guys. And many of those conspiracies are true. They have to be in order to be effective. They're going to reveal to you that so-and-so is doing this and so-and-so is doing that. And they're changing our currency and they're deceiving us about 911. And they're getting us involved in wars. And they're bringing in immigrants to create a race war and a religious war. I mean, evil, the plan within the plan within the plan. You need to know the plan. The top plan, not all the little plans within the plan, the top plan. And you need to know it, not because I tell it to you, because it's revealed to you. The top plan doesn't want you to love one another. It wants you to hate. It doesn't want you to give to one another. It wants you to take. It doesn't want you to forgive one another. It wants you to be like the snake. Stop, you follow the snake until you become the snake. You become like the snake. You have to repent, turn around, you have to start. This is easy. I mean, what am I saying? Stop hating, start loving one another. Start taking care of one another. Start casting your bread upon the water. Start showing up, not because of the good feeling you're going to get, but because you're going to do good. Because you're not there tending to the feelings you want, but you're tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. One of the things you will not do is judge men you do not know. You will not impose upon other men that they must do things the way you think they ought to be done. I mean, obviously, you know, the men need to be keeping the Ten Commandments, not killing one another, not raping, not murdering, not poisoning, you know, and taking care of their own family. But they don't have to show up to the meeting you want them to show up to. You have to give them license to try to follow the Holy Spirit. Most people will not do that. And occasionally, even those that do that will stumble, like Peter. And you need to forgive them because they know not what they do. So let the bankers rule the earth. You get ruled by God. And God will return the earth to you because he's about to take it away from them. But unfortunately, he's about to set everybody free. But unfortunately, most of you aren't going to survive freedom because you haven't really repented yet. So I got a question that came to me. I asked, are there any questions that people want me to answer? And I got one that said, what are the specific duties of a minister of his church and an ordained minister of his holy church? Which is a very well worded question. Because he made the distinction between the ministers of his church. Ministers of his church are people are gathering, beginning to learn to gather together. They're not doing everything they're supposed to be, but they're making progress. They're gathering together, some of them. I mean, we got lots of people in the network that are just sitting there and are not gathering in a congregation, or they're looking for the special congregation of saints that makes them feel good. I can tell you this, if you found a congregation of saints, they wouldn't make you feel good. They would be rebuking you because they would actually be loving you. The ministers of his church are just guys who say, yeah, I'm going to help get 10 people together. I'm going to serve them in the best way I can. And the best way I can is to link them to others. It's not little clique groups of home churches. is people that are seeking the kingdom, not congregations. They're seeking the kingdom. So they gather together in hopes of helping other people outside of their congregation. They themselves are not in need on a day-to-day basis, most of them, because of the fact that they're pretty independent, self-reliant people. But somewhere in the network, there's somebody in need. Say you have 1,000 people in a network, and somebody's in need this week. You got 1,000 people. If 1,000 people send $100, that's $100,000. Wow. Wow. Of course, it doesn't go into some central bank or anything. It goes to your local minister, and he decides whether it goes up to help this guy over in Poughkeepsie. But because of the fact that it's real sacrifice, real blood on the altar, the ministers are going to make sure that those funds are well spent to the benefit of that individual. And the benefit of that individual is to strengthen him, not to weaken him. Now, how does that come about? I mean, if you just throw money at somebody, you're going to weaken them. They're going to become dependent on the fact that you throw money at them. You want to do charity that strengthens the poor, not weakens them. And you see, if you started actually having ministers that get this, you know, they're not taking any pay. They're not taking any wages. They're just volunteering their time to facilitate a network that is a mutual assurance program. Not an insurance program, assurance. That we're here for you. If you really need help, we are here for you. And we give a drop of our own blood every week. You know, our heart beats 1 in 10 times for somebody else. Not just for ourselves. That now you're coming into conformity with Christ. You're going to find that difficult. It's going to be hard. You're going to have to do without things, especially you people that are down there where the rubber meets the road. Look at the widow's mite. She gave very little, but it was a lot in proportion because she gave everything she had. Who of you are doing that kind of stuff? Who are you that are giving in such a way? That are showing up together, to give together, to sacrifice together on living altars of clay and stone. Until then, peace on your house and God be with you. Anyway, so we've lost a little bit of time. I thought evil is trying to stop this show because we were getting into an area that maybe make a little bit of difference. There's a lot of things I won't share over the radio that I will share in person. It's what we call campfire talk. And of course, we've got the Burning Bush Festival coming up here in the latter part of September. And there are people that are coming from all over the place to be there at the Burning Bush. Latter part of August, we're going to have people coming from all over. We'll have places to set up lots and lots of tents. We have an RV park right next door. There'll be showers and restrooms available there. We'll have a fairly large kitchen in order to help prepare meals. We'll have outdoor barbecue pits, what have you. And everybody should come somewhat self-sustained, bring their own food. We're not running a kitchen necessarily for everybody. They should come with the idea of bringing food to share with everybody else. That's the nature of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tents. And I will set aside time that I will make myself available to all the questions that you come up with. And there'll be lots of time for fellowship. Some of the people were someone who has never been to this, and the husband was trying to talk them into coming. They said, but what will the kids do? If everybody brings their kids will find something to do. I can guarantee it. We have a lake right below us. We have some canoes. If you want to go swimming, if you want to go canoeing, if you want to bring your own boat, do so. There's life preserver laws in the state of Oregon, so you have to have a life preserver for everybody in the boat. Not everybody underage has to be wearing one. I didn't make that law. They did. I'll just give you a heads up. But it's a big lake. There's a river. You can go tubing down the river or whatever. There's miles, hundreds of square miles of desert for hiking. The mountains are right above us where you can go up into the forest and look down on us in the valley. So there's lots of things you can do. You can come early. You can leave late. But we can answer lots of your questions. And you don't have to pay us a dime. Not $300, not $30. It's up to you. And we'll answer a lot of these questions like, what is a minister of his church? And of course, we have the free church report online for free. we have the book, That Kingdom Come, that shows you what the altars of clay and altars of stone were. From the very beginning, God was showing us. From the days of Cain and Abel and Seth, he was giving us the symbols of his kingdom on earth, where you are to dress and keep it. It's a righteous place because there's righteousness in your heart as you approach it. It is not like your regular churches that tickle your ears, make you feel good, give you a pat on the back, create a sense of fellowship and belonging that deludes you into thinking that somehow or other you're saved and you're actually following the ways of Christ, the ways of Moses, the ways of Enoch. Those ways are completely different. Now, the second part of that question that was asked is, what is an ordained minister of his holy church? His holy church is a phrase describing his in the sense of Christ. Christ appointed the church. But the church is just an institution like the church in the wilderness that Moses appointed when he appointed the Levites to be the ministers of tens throughout a nation. And the nation was organized. We just recently put up a page on the Iroquois Confederation, the Five Nations, which was designed to stop intertribal warfare and designed to bring peace because the Indians were killing each other off. They were murdering each other, even eating each other. Well, today they're eating one another still, but they do it through the benefactors who exercise authority. The huge welfare on the reservations that have destroyed the Indians. What's destroying the blacks? It wasn't slavery. Well, it is a form of slavery. It's the welfare system of the world. Everybody who sends their kids to public school, that's welfare. Everybody who relies on Social Security to take care of their parents, that's welfare. That's destroying you. It isn't the Illuminati. It isn't the Pope. It isn't anybody else. But you are destroying your own society because you are content to take a bite out of one another. So therefore, you should be devoured. You're content, even those of you who don't take the benefits, but are slothful in creating a system based on faith, hope, and charity, you are destroying the freedom in your society because you're slothful and you should be under tribute. What we're showing you is how free societies created voluntary societies by faith, hope, and charity. And voluntary societies is where you volunteer to show up and other people volunteer to show up. And if they decide not to show up, you don't judge them. You allow them not to show up. You're looking for to show up yourself. You're governing yourself. You're not governing others. You know, I have lots of people that could use my help, but I have ask and you shall receive. Don't ask, don't expect anything. So what is an ordained minister? He is to be a brother to Jesus. Following the leading of his Father in heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the collective consciousness of Christ. How do you know who's doing that? Is he manifesting the collective consciousness of Satan? You know, is he telling you to hate this person and hate that person and fight against that person, resist that evil? Or is he telling you to repent, turn around, think a different way, and seek the righteousness of God by tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, and mercy for those of you who will gather together, in also reaching out through the sacrifice of the red heifer to help others in their community by strengthening them with your charity, not weakening them? Are you doing that? Are you seeking to do that? Is that the way that you're following, walking, trekking in? Are you tracking the snake, the beast? Or are you tracking Christ and the righteousness of the kingdom of God at hand? You see, that's a big difference. That's a big way that we should be approaching the reality around us. You know, I talked before about distance being immaterial and explaining in earlier shows about this collective consciousness, which we are all a part of, whether we like it or not. And we were talking earlier in the shows this time about the fact that the symbols that keep appearing throughout the ages just pop up in people's heads. How did that symbol get there? Well, what else is popping up besides the symbol and the patterns? I mean, you literally can see the person's facial expressions, the muscles in his face distorted to the point where they begin to look alike with people in past history that followed a particular pattern of thought. Because the spirits of those ages are rising up in you. We talk about these mass shootings and massacres and bombings and wars in past times. You know, the battles of, what was it, the massacres of St. Baltimore, I think it was? Bartholomew, St. Bartholomew massacre. And the religious wars. Thousands upon thousands of people were killed, bloodied, hand to hand. Not dropping a bomb, phosphorus bomb or napalm bomb, but people actually killing one another, murdering one another. We've actually had a lull lately in that bestial nature, because it's getting a grip in us where we are allowed to continue biting one another and never get blood on our teeth or on our hands, because we've created a whole system and accepted it. And we've created it with the power of the Constitution, the power of contract. You have a right to contract, and you've created this system by your contract, making covenants with them, with the inhabitants where you go, and with their gods who are the ruling judges of your life. So you have the classic world, the quantum mechanics world, the quantum field theory world, and the unified field theory based on superstring. This is what the scientists are all explaining in this ocean of intelligence that we talked about in earlier shows, 3 or 4 shows back. But what ocean are you a part of? I'm talking about parting the seas. I'm talking about the rock walking on dry land. I'm talking about stop hating the enemy. And start doing what Christ said, seeking the righteousness of God in all that you do. Not just for yourself, but for others. Habakkuk said in 3:19, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine hind places, my high places. To the chief singers in my stringed instruments, he will pluck the strings of my heart. Not the people who are the purveyors of hate and accusation. Now, yes, there are conspiracies in the world. Yes, there is evil afoot. But you have very little attention span. Let's focus on Christ. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus. What would Jesus do? Would he forgive? Would he give somebody another chance? Even somebody who's denying him in his hour of need? People who flee into the darkness when the enemy arrives and leave him alone? Yeah, he's praying for them already. Is that the spirit that dwelleth in you? So let's turn around. Let's think another way. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. That's Micah. Micah had also said, for the transgressions of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel, what is the transgression of Jacob? Not Samaria, or it's actually the word Shimron, watching heights. And what are the high places of Judah? Not Jerusalem. Are they not Jerusalem? That's what he says, the high places of Judah. Jerusalem is double peace. We have this intellectual approach to the kingdom of God. We have to have the spiritual approach to the kingdom of God. And when we have that spiritual approach, he will lead our hearts. And we will not find ourselves in judgment of others. We will not find ourselves angry with others. We will see the evil with the light of God through our own eyes. And that light will give us power. We will put an armor of protection around us. But you get that by doing exactly what Christ said. Repent. Think a different way. Don't think battle against the evil. Don't think fighting against the evil. Don't think that your power of resistance against the evil is going to stop it. God will stop it. You must seek the kingdom of God. That means you need to come together, not just with your buddies that will make you feel good. You need to come together in a vast network of people who actually begin to care about one another as much as they care about themselves. Care about those near and far as much as they care about themselves. Not just those, they don't just love those who can love them back and help them back. We have people in the network that, not in the network of congregation, but in the network that they don't see any reason to gather together with a vast network. They've got their buddies, all their survivalist buddies, and they're putting up, you know, they've got their little retreat places, and they've got money, and they're going to hold out against the New World Order. But God will not be with them because their plan is one of selfishness. Christ could have taken the money that he had and a few followers and headed to the mountains. He knew what was coming. But he didn't go that way. What way are you going to go? So we're going to talk next time about diversion tactics. But that will have to be next time. Until then, peace on your house and may God be with you. God bless. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.